Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Oi, oi. Welcome to the show. Oh, it was a piss. We got a victory in London. It was great, wasn't it? Welcome to the show. This is The Match Ball, live streamed on YouTube for our TSB Plus subscribers. Dan, Michael and Moscow, of course, celebrating a 3-2 against West Ham. Bit of a madness, that, wasn't it? Good, though. Nice to win.
Grueling.
Yeah.
Its own fun kind of way.
I will admit, I didn't watch the last 10 minutes or so. I found it too stressful. I went and sat in the kitchen and had a cup of tea. My back against the radiator.
You did watch some of it because you came in just after we'd seen Bowen chest the ball over from a yard away.
It was that, wasn't it? Good that. Enjoy Kidderminster.
It was
when it counts, doesn't it? When you get a game against Kidderminster that you don't even want. Oh, we can do. Oh, we'll score all the goals because we're great and we're West Ham. But then that chance, nope. Sorry.
Quite a stressful finish, wasn't
it? We'll have the Premier League points.
Should have been 4-2 and we all know it. But we don't need to get into VAR this week, do we? Because it's boring.
Fair decision.
You think?
I think, yeah, it's absolutely fine. I think if they want to have that FA Cup win by cheating, then we will just take our 3-2 win in the Premier League and we'll just acknowledge that the decision was fine. I did, that when they cut to Bielsa on the touchline afterwards, I did look at him and think, there is somebody who regrets always saying that we should not criticise refereeing because there was one, I think if this is the one moment he would actually really love to tear into him. Let it go, Bielsa. Let it go.
The thing is, it is offside. It's just really unlucky. And
it feels wrong, doesn't it?
It does feel, morally, it's not offside, is it? Because there's absolutely zero advantage being had from anyone. The ball is crossing the line as it hits it on the arse.
He's not even looking at it.
No.
I mean, but
never mind.
Bowen going on Melia last week is absolutely doing something to get involved in the game. Rodrigo staring in a completely opposite direction and somebody kicks the ball at his back and he doesn't even change the direction it's going in. Doesn't matter. But, you know... It's all fine.
It was one of those things, though, that we're in the course of a game. Obviously, now we're after and we know that we won. But it was one of those things that during the course of a game, you're going, oh, well, they'll bloody equalise now. Yeah. A bit like we were doing really well. And then Adam Forshaw got 20 minutes into his new contract, didn't he? And he was down and Firpo was down. You're thinking, Jesus Christ.
It's the end of the world, isn't it?
And after that, you think, well, that good start's going to be a loss now. And there's nothing we can do about it.
It did take the wind out of the sails, didn't it, to be fair? But then we just kept scoring, so that's fine.
And I was just going to say, but then when you look at that miss at the end, it's incredible. If you're talking about Leeds United's luck and all the things that have happened today and all the things that have happened this season, and then that comes in at the very last seconds of the match and the useless Hull bastard just skies it over the bar.
I've just realised, did I ever do the Levi Solicitors thing at the start of this show or not?
Say it again.
I'll do it. I will do
10%. They're a great bunch of lads.
Yeah. You know what? 100% off your legal fees after that.
We'll foot the bill. No, we don't mean that. Yeah. LevisListeners.co.uk/thesquareball to get your 10% discount on legal fees. It's up to 15% on your legal fees for conveyancing until the end of January. So 2 more weeks on that. Take advantage, etc. Yeah. Sorry, Levi's. You got a mid-show mention instead of just at the start.
That's
anyway.
Great.
But yeah. Unpack all that for me, because my head's everywhere. Because the final whistle went, 10 minutes ago or thereabouts, and I've spent the last 10 minutes of that game in the kitchen when we're back against a nice toasty radiator, watching. I ended up watching it on my phone when we got to about 89 minutes. I thought, I'm going to watch it, because I want to see the moment when the whistle goes.
I think the general pattern was, started really well, scored, injuries knackered us for a bit, but then we scored again straight after they had. It was great. It was contrast it with the game last week, which we've established didn't count for anything and was a waste of time. This was great.
Keeping ourselves for the big one.
To play Kidderminster.
This was a fun game. Like that game last week, it was very hard to think of anything to say about it because it was just Nothing really happened apart from they scored a couple of goals. And
I mean, if there'd been 3 points at stake, that's what I was saying about the magnitude of the Premier League versus the FA Cup. Because with the FA Cup, you know, all right, okay, Kidderminster next or whatever. Mm. But you've then got probably Man City in the quarterfinals, then Liverpool or Chelsea. It's like, and one of them will win it because they do. They always win it. So, I mean, I know Leicester won it last year, but we've got bigger fish to fry. And that bigger fish is £132 million worth of Premier League revenue.
And under, well, fuck the revenue.
Stay in the league that you hate.
Yep.
And the thing about last week's game was it just felt flat from the start from both teams. It never really seemed like a game that caught fire. And would you maybe suggest that the team that played this week was not any stronger than the team that played for Leeds last week? In the end, we started with a stronger lineup, but then after 20 minutes, Firpo's gone, Forshaw's gone, and it's Helders back on and Bait. So it's two of the three from last week.
We were corrected by Sven.
It's two of the
Norwegian friend.
The three from last week who we were looking at and saying, oh, well, we're giving them a run out in the FA Cup because we're not taking this seriously. And then we have to use them as the linchpins of our Premier League victory. So what I'm saying is we deserve even more credit.
4 points we deserve.
Yeah. And, you know, Jackie, after his hat trick goal, when he kicked the ball in again, that should have been our fourth. And Click, obviously his goal should have counted. So 5-3.
Yeah. Just returning to that, we've had comments, like Jack in the comments is saying the VAR decision for Rodrigo on the line was genuinely outrageous. It feels it, doesn't it? But he was technically offside.
It's very, very annoying.
Yeah. I mean, because if it had it not touched him, no problem, but it did.
The reason it burns is because the one last week was unfair. That was wrong last week. That goal should not have counted because he was interfering. So this one, which is actually the rules being applied correctly, doesn't make you feel any better because that one hurt. So, but, you know, we scored three, so it's absolutely fine. And we only conceded two. And they were only from, Stuart Dallas at the corner. Yeah, that's not great. And what was the other goal? I can't even remember what the other goal was like.
The other goal was...
What did they do?
What
did
they do?
Bowen scored a header.
Oh, Fornals cut in, didn't he? Antonio kind of knocks it up in the air. He picked it up, cut inside Strouk.
That spell. There was only really that time. It was after we lost our two players in the first half when West Ham were okay for a while and got their equaliser. And then the start of the second half when we kept just giving the ball to them in midfield, which is probably why Lewis Bate, who was very good, Premier League debut and all that, but you could kind of understand why he had to go and sit down again because that area of the pitch was where we were losing it. And hopefully he'll get over it.
Yeah, it was that little patch where we kept trying to play it out of defence. And as we played it forward, they'd win the ball either in defence or in midfield. And then there'd just be an enormous void where, I guess it was Robin Cox's space mainly, but you know, there's only so much one man can do anyway. Mm. But it just felt like there was an enormous... like middle of the pitch that they could charge through.
I think they were looking for Bait in there. But anyway, the thing is that those both situations were quite difficult for us, especially against a team that's going for the Champions League places. And we got a grip both times. I think after we went 3-2 up, we were better than them. I know you had a minor breakdown and had to go and chain yourself to a radiator.
It's not a minor breakdown. I just needed to get my head together. I didn't need to be in here like piling my anxieties onto you or externalising it in front of you. I just needed to go sit in there on my own and just have my own private hell. That's all it needs to be about sometimes.
There were a few moments. Were you watching when they had the goal disallowed?
No.
Okay, did you know that?
I was watching that on teletext, like on my phone.
Okay, yeah. Because that was a moment. Meslier had made two ridiculously good saves as well. And it was one of those where, because it had gone in and you know they're going to check it on VAR, it showed a replay and I was like, I'm confident that's offside. And then you think,
but
I'm about 90% confident that's offside. Is there going to be something about phases of play?
And that's last week influencing your opinion, isn't it?
Well, it's just every week and just influencing my opinion.
Just on what you said there, actually, Moscow, Phil Hayes tweeted just now a few minutes ago to the same effect, saying that like one of the traits of Bielsa's team is that when they get ahead, even when they get ahead, turn the screw even more. And at 3-2, loads of confidence going forward, even more chances. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
We looked really good all day. But for the start, when as near to as we've been to a first team as we are allowed... by the cruel gods who have forsaken us for 20 minutes. We were way better than them at the start of the game. And then, at 3-2, we didn't look like a team that was under any pressure.
Yeah, I must admit, even when I still had it in my mind we were going to lose this game or at least not win it, I was also thinking, we don't look like a team that's going down here. Like, we're good. Like, I didn't watch the full match, but I saw the highlights of Newcastle.
I watched it all.
the shit.
Both teams were awful.
Like they look crap. It was and like Burnley, Burnley looked like a relegated team as well.
I tweeted my mate, texted my mate saying it was like two bald men fighting over a comb that game. It was your classic example of.
And the way Everton are going, they seem to be desperate to be relegated as well. So there's enough in our performance, I think, even if we'd have thrown it away today, for me to have been thinking, well, maybe this is. It's still all right. We're playing fine. Like yeah. This is
massive gap now to the bottom, which is significant considering Burnley have got 11 points all season, Newcastle 12, and the gap's now 9.
And then I know everything's messed up because of how many games people keep crying off, but the gap to 10th is 3 points.
Yeah.
So
and we're within a win of a game in hand win of Brentford, Palace, aren't we?
Well, we're within a game in hand of Crystal Palace have played one more than us, and they are 2 points ahead of us.
And they're having a brilliant season, apparently.
It's crazy, isn't it? I think
we're having a terrible season.
And it's in the spirit of how good that win was and how well Leeds played and how strongly they kept going and the quality of the opposition and the form of the opposition. The season as a whole, given, it keeps happening and, we can find whoever's fault it is that everybody's hamstring pops after 20 minutes. We can sort that out another time. But to keep going through that kind of thing and be now 15th, closer to the top half of the table than to relegation, is incredible from all of the players, as few as we have, they're doing very, very, very well. Even down to Lewis Bate.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about him then and his game, because he lasted basically 45 minutes either side of half time, didn't he? And he looked a little bit disconsolate on the bench at being yanked, but It was a sensible move to put a Wiser head in there just at that moment. I thought it was a canny move, actually.
He needn't be. This happens with Bielsa. Look at Calvin Phillips' first season, taking off after 20 minutes at Swansea. Next, a couple of years later, he's England's best player. And it's like, well, just it's fine. He's seen something from the sidelines, and I don't think he'll be disappointed with anything Bate did. It's just maybe the game, he could sense the game was getting away from us. And let's face it, if it had been... later in the game, he probably would have bought Rodrigo in the first place, but he also was thinking, Rodrigo isn't going to be fit enough to play 70 minutes here, so I can't bring him on now. So it's the way he looks at minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sometimes irrelevant who is wearing the shirt in the position that needs to be replaced. It doesn't matter where they came in the game. That's what the change needs to be. And but I did enjoy Bielsa in his press conference the other day, giving all those long explanations. I just don't understand why young players think that they'd be better with Steve Morrison than with me. I give them every opportunity and then you're coming back off. I think Bates' face was probably quite, he's probably, I'll go see if Cody will let me go.
See if
I go
play Cardiff.
Yeah. But all it will need is, because Bielsa gave him a big smack on the back as he came off, which he doesn't do often. And I'm sure the analysis that he'll get one-on-one with all the coaching staff, but not all of them, he doesn't need 20 people, but the analysis of his performance will be positive and will say, right, crack on, but we had to make that change because that's where we were. We were struggling in midfield and then click for all the kind of criticism he ever gets and the idea that, he's finished and passed it. Experienced player who knows what he's doing. He dropped back into the position where Bate was. Rodrigo, also Spanish international, playing behind James. And it made us loads better when we could have lost the game maybe if we hadn't.
If you think about it, I mean, like Bielsa himself laid out the terms of this week in when he framed Dramo's move and said, what, being in a squad of 20 in the best league in the world is not enough for you, but to flip it on its head and say, Lewis Bate, you're in a squad of 20 in the best league in the world and you've done really, really well there. You've really been a credit to yourself.
You get 45 minutes at all.
Exactly. Against Declan Rice, who's one of the best midfielders in the division.
I thought that was a big difference, actually, to the cup game. I thought in the cup game Declan Rice pretty much had the run of the midfield and there were points where he was dominant in there today, but certainly in the early stages when we had Forshaw on, I thought we were tired because we played
midweek. Yeah. They're so tired.
I can't see if Moyes has started speaking yet, but
I've got the journalist comments. I've got a column open in TweetDeck now. I've got my eyes zeroed in on it.
I can hear the whinging now of like we had to play Norwich and that's what's
we're not using it as an excuse, Moscow. However, but we did have to. That's what it'll be.
Someone needs to point out. Did you see the Leeds squad in terms of fitness?
This is it. And did you see what happened to Leeds squad after 20 minutes? And that's the other player who deserves a lot of credit is Yelda coming on.
Great.
And, he's not. I think the centre back at left back thing isn't quite strictly true because he was signed as kind of a hybrid left-back, centre-back thing and has played. He's probably been at left-back in the under-23s as often as centre-back. So it wasn't completely bizarre for him to be there. But again, he's up against very good players And after doing very well against them last week at centre half, I thought he did very well again at left back.
Well, Bowen's like the form player of the division, isn't he?
He's more or less. Play for England, moment. Isn't he? With and then he can sky big chances over the bar for his country as well.
One of Jackie's goals, actually, the one off the thigh. He had a very similar chance earlier in the season, didn't
that
he?
That went off little Jackie, I think.
That went over. It was upper thigh.
Just poked it in.
It was
they go pow.
The abdominal region, as Eddie and Ketty would call it. But I think it was thigh.
I'm trying to remember who that was against. It was at the back post, and it was it was shocking.
It was kind of similar, wasn't it? He just thighed it, and the angle was wrong on it. But today, just a little bit.
And then the third goal was great.
Yeah. we'll get onto it in a minute. I just want to do a couple of zingers from Graham, if I could, in the YouTube chat before it disappears off the page. But he said, Rodrigo offside while hiding like the lad at the end of Blair Witch, which amused me. He was trying to make himself as minimal as possible, wasn't he? Like Melier thin. And he also says, performance aside today, he feels like our mentality is gradually coming back to us. And that felt like the Leeds United of last season did that. That's what it resembled. And I mean, I know I've stopped clock and all that, but this is why I keep erring on the side of positivity on the Phil Hayes show, feeling like we've always got one of these inners. We just needed to rediscover it. And I felt like we did today, and we thoroughly deserved it.
You likened it to the Man City game of last year, actually.
I think it's bigger.
It felt, well, in terms of the importance of the win, definitely, because that was just outright funny last year. It was just like a laugh beating Man City because we could. This was needed. But it felt like, I think I mentioned after we'd made the subs, it felt like it was so deflating having to take those two off that it felt like we'd gone down to 10 men, and it felt like everything was against us in that same way as the Man City game did, where you kind of thought, well, we started really well, but, well, that's probably it now because there's nothing we can do. But yeah, to come back and keep and overcome them equalising and disallowed goal and everything, it was brilliant.
It's credit as well to, I don't know if I feel bad for little Lewis Bate, because he never looks happy because he's got his little My Chemical Romance bassist haircut and like a real sulky expression all the time. I feel like he's always a bit down. You want to build him up. But it kind of shows something in the way that the first team players, if we can still call whoever they're, the nine that we have, like the faith that they have in players like Bate and Yelda, that when they come on, they're just like, right, well, we'll just crack on and we'll win this game against West Ham anyway. It didn't turn into a situation of, oh, we'll have to try and defend our lead and we'll never get back into this game. And we're talking about David Moyes is going to talk about the excuse will be that they had to play against Norwich. If Leeds had lost today, the excuse would not have been Yelda and Bate came on and their children and they ruined it. It was just that our players, when we're talking about mentality, were just like, right, Forshaw and Firpo, two important players, they're going off. And these kids who we train with all the time are coming on, fine. So all the commentary is, well, how are they going to cope with bringing teenagers out of the creche? And you do worry. But the players themselves, the senior players, don't worry. They are just, they're fine. The age differences are hilarious.
I think I found the basis.
About 14 years between, if you take Click to Bate, 13, 14 years.
Archie Gray.
Archie Gray is the youngest by a
distance. I'm sure if Archie Gray came on the pitch, they'd just be like, right, they'd give him the ball just as
Ailing,
much as if
Ailing giving him hospital shot. Passes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it shows faith in him, but then it shows as well why it wasn't working.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
But yeah, I think as well, actually, with the changes today, again, no move for Dallas. He stayed at right back the whole game, didn't he? Which is, if...
Lazy.
If this little spell, though, means that we
lack
can,
of commitment
means that we can start trusting the likes of Bate and Gelder to play and come on in a position, which means we don't have to move Stuart Dallas, I think that's for the good in the long term.
And it's the mad benefit of this whole sort of semi-disastrous season is it when we get to the end of it and look back, and this is Bielsa's point of drama, is when we look back at the minutes that the young players have had and the opportunities they've had that under other circumstances they might have just spent a season in the under-23s, and Mark Jackson might have welcomed that, but it's good for them. Helder getting games so soon after the signing is good for him, and if we win, it's good for us.
I think that's the thing with this season. The whole thing has been, it's just like the transfer market. If we can not buy anyone in this window and we stay up and we just use Bate and Yelder and we save all the money and we make better purchases in summer, it's a masterstroke. It's brilliant. We've kind of got away with it. We've not had to make any stupid, daft Kiko, John Kevin Augustin waste of money signings. It can all be beautifully planned. It's just that there's always been that
stress. Yeah.
But if that's if, obviously that's if we stay up. If we don't, then it's all of that is for nothing.
I mean, the key thing now is beating Newcastle next.
Yeah. I mean, beat Newcastle, and I'm not going to say season's done, but you give yourself the platform to do it with 6 points in 2 weeks, don't you? I mean, like based on a total of whatever we had before.
That would then be 9 from 3.
Oh, Christ, he's
doing 2022.
That. Yeah.
100% record against Burnley, West Ham and Newcastle would be a good start.
We're unbeaten this year, aren't we?
We're 100% in the league.
Unbeatable.
2 games, 2 wins. But Newcastle is now important.
Yeah. I mean, we can even afford to draw against Newcastle. That's the thing, just to keep them.
It's must win for them now. Yeah. That's the thing. It's not must win for us. And if we can just hope Sam Maximan gets COVID or something during the week, it's probably going to be fine.
Well, no, because they'll try and call it off if they do that.
Oh, that's true.
The better thing is for them to... I mean, they had the best team out against Watford and drew. So what have we got to be afraid of?
We get to see Chris Wood twice in January. What a treat that is.
That'd be fun, won't it?
Didn't think we'd be having that. We've not talked about Jackie enough,
have
we, really?
Let's do the Jack trick, the hat trick, the Jackie Harrison trick.
Goal
Jackie,
one.
Jackie Haradonna, whatever we want to frame it as.
Goal one was... What? Feels a long time ago. A lot has happened.
That was in was that in the opening 10 minutes?
Since then, yes.
Yeah. That was when Click had a shot saved. Forshaw laid it back to Jackie, who put it in the net.
Yes.
Can't remember it, can
Yeah,
you?
That's it. No, I can, and I can remember.
I can't.
It was the... trying to remember who played the pass to Rafinha, the long pass to Rafinha that started it all, because we were attacking really strongly down the wings, and that was what was worrying West Ham so much. And we kept winning the ball off them dead high as well.
My notes say Rafa Click shit soved, which is not great writing.
What's soving?
I don't know. It's a lower low sort of language.
Oh, he's soving as a bird.
Yeah, but that was good.
Yes, it was the long ball down the right that Rafinha got behind Creswell, who... it makes you wonder why they let Sam Byram go, if that's the best they can do for a fullback. And yeah, pull back to Click, and a little pass from Forshaw, and then number two off his dick, and then number three is that beautiful Rafinha pass. And
the weight on that was just perfect.
And then don't underrate Jackie's finishing on that, because the way he had options there of whether to take a touch and go round him, and I wasn't completely convinced by his kind of pause, but it turned out to be exactly the right thing to do. He kind of ran onto the ball and then just slowed down to let the goalkeeper come out and let the ball come a little bit nearer to him. And I was like, he's fucked this. Pardon my French. And then he chips it over the keeper in the top corner. I was like, that's all right. That'll do. And then kick it in the ball in the net again afterwards.
I'm glad it's been a tough season for him, I think. He's had two really good seasons for us. After the first one, when everyone just wanted Jack Clark to play. Mm-hmm. Whoever he may be these
and
days.
That often happened at half time, didn't it?
Mm. And then really good in promotion, really good last year. And this year it was a bit like, oh, well, we've signed him now and he's gone shit. But he's not gone shit. He's been out of form, hasn't he?
I saw a photo of him on, I think it's the official Leeds Twitter of him in the tunnel holding the match ball.
Beaming like a Cheshire cat.
It's a beautiful thing.
And Johnny Cooper, JR Cooper 26, if you want to find him on Twitter, you should follow him because he comes out with some great stats. Jack Harrison is only the fifth player to score a hat-trick for a club managed by Marcelo Bielsa after Luis Garcia for America. Patricio Camps in 1997 for Velez twice. Fernando Llorente 2012, Athletic Bilbao, and Bamford 2020 for Leeds. So he joins an illustrious list of triple bagsmen. It's not just about celebrating the good things that Leeds do. It's also about laughing at the opposition, because did you see Jared Bowen, who, when he scored, gave it a little bit to the Leeds fans.
Oh, did he?
And you see what he did at the end when he put it over and they didn't equalise and we won? Yeah, bollocks to him. That's all.
That's fair enough. It was weirdly quiet at the end of the first half, wasn't it? We were saying how that it sounded like the piped crowd noise of last year where they just put a general just a murmur under it, because you heard Melier shout for the, like he said mine or something, I can't remember what it was.
Out, that was it.
He was telling people to,
out.
He was going to put it long, wasn't it, at the end of the first half. But you think, God, I mean, it's almost like 60,000 people that stadium. You shouldn't be able to hear a goalkeeper.
I realised when we were listening to it / watching it, that you could hear all the photographers, the lenses going, because they must have had the effects mics right next to the photographers. And obviously the effects mics are next to the pitch, so they're not picking up the crowd either. But when that was happening, that it almost sounded like birdsong, generic birdsong in the background. But you could just, if you listened off in the distance, you could hear the Leeds fans singing, but not very loud because obviously it all just
of the distance.
Evaporates up into the into the ether.
There's no birds within a mile of that stadium. It's a natural dead wasteland.
Should touch on the Leeds fans. Apparently there was some incident, so hopefully that's all.
Graham tweeted out about that actually, but he also quickly quote tweeted himself and said that they were in there quickly with the paramedics and dealt with it, so it looked okay. So, you know, best wishes if there is some illness or injury in there. But everyone seems happy. Bielsa describing it as a beautiful game, I think.
It was. We've not mentioned Dan James either. I feel like he probably deserves a mention.
His booking was brilliant.
It was. But he's pressing as a whole. I still don't really think he's very good as a striker. And he had a couple of chances, didn't he? Which there was one where he was Rafinha put him through and he just passed it to the Fabianski's hands, didn't he, more or less? Yeah. But his pressing is ridiculous.
It does work so hard. You can see why Bielsa always liked him, can't you?
Yeah, it's one of the question marks in, like, if we were to panic like Newcastle have and try to sign a striker like Chris Wood's available for 25 million or whatever, easy. But for Leeds, trying to find a player who would be willing to do what Dan James is willing to do and what Bamford, when he's fit, is willing to do, and Roberts, when he's filling in, is willing to do. There was a moment in the first half where there was a pass down the right wing to James and he couldn't get onto it, and then he'd followed the passing, putting pressure on every centre-back all the way over to the left wing. And it's the work rate is incredible, and it's kind of the... You can't measure Dan James as a striker in terms of goals because he's not going to score many, but sweat. Probably you need to weigh him before every game and then after every game. And then that's, do him as expected weight loss. And that could be him. And the other two to mention today would be Pascal Struijk, who was brilliant and amazing. So that's my detailed analysis of him. And then also...
What did he do well?
I thought he did big shithousing well, but against a big shithouse. That's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, he was really strong against Antonio. And it sounds weird when we conceded two to them, but West Ham are good, so it was fine.
You did completely forget that he's not played in weeks, didn't you?
He
just looked good from the start.
Cock.
Yeah.
In midfield as well.
I thought it was his best game yet, actually, in that position, because I've never been sure. I do think one of our usual failings is with the centre-back who goes roaming, and they had Diop doing it, who was absolutely comically bad.
There's that moment where he went, what am I doing? He panicked in midfield.
We let him run through midfield and he went, I'll just kick it wide or something.
It's a great part of the plan. Let their worst player on the ball run forward with the ball and mark every possible player he could pass to. And he ended up, it's probably a perfect moment of Bielsa's defensive, why the man-to-man thing works, is him getting to the edge of the box and then having to turn around and go back again because there is just absolutely nothing for him to do and doesn't have the skill to do it, and then we took the ball off them.
It just doesn't work as well when it's Man City.
Beat them that way because we kept the game last season, we kept letting John Stones have it on the edge of our box.
Didn't work as well.
Mark everybody else.
This season.
And we won. Yeah, I mean, it's when Bielsa's things don't work, they just don't work.
Spectacularly, isn't it?
A very big way, but when they do work, even with a B team, but it's always in... We weren't sure who was going to be playing where today. When we saw that lineup, we thought you'd think who started.
Furpo
at left back.
Just sing the follow,
right,
follow, follow song and you'll realise what the injury list is.
It could have been Ayling right back, Cock and Struijk at centre back, and then Forshaw, Dallas through and Click through midfield. But I keep remembering Bielsa a while ago saying that Robin Cock has the conditions to be a truly excellent defensive midfielder in the future. And I think that's why he's getting the nod there over Struijk. Could have done it. Forshaw could have done it. But he's like, no, Cork is going to be my new Phillips. And if that turns out...
Cork scored today as well, didn't he?
Great.
Okay.
For Harris, yes.
There we go.
Rafinha was better today as well.
Combination.
Just talking about Raf Fracture, TJ in the comments on the YouTube stream said you haven't even mentioned his brilliant free kick yet. Because there's so much went on, I think we just...
He was good all round today as well. He was, in fact, one of the... Did it lead to the disallowed goal or the actual goal? I can't remember. But it was, again, he completely just did Diop on the right wing.
And there was a disallowed goal, yeah. We did Diop and then pulled it back to Glick, who we hadn't seen.
But he was great. And he did that. He assisted one for Jackie. He just looked dangerous all day. And the free kick being another moment where he went, we'll lose this now.
Lee Jordan in the YouTube comments says, the first sentence of Moyes is complaining about playing three games in a week. The very first sentence. Ha ha, ha ha ha.
He should have used his squad, shouldn't he? Because, mm-hmm. Who did they have on the bench? They bought on Yarmolenko. Didn't they pay about 30 million quid for him?
Mm-hmm.
So should have played him more instead of playing Bowen all the time. Who else is on there? Masuaku, I think they paid a decent bit for him. You know, use your squad, David.
Yeah.
Like we are. Well, our will.
Well, last week we played a slightly weakened side, admittedly mostly children because that's all we had left for the cup game. But we saw the benefit of it today because you're bringing in Rafa with only 45 minutes under his belt rather than a full game. And
he's pushed
Forshaw that obviously lasted a full 20 minutes.
He's pushed that bunch to three games a week and you always wonder if he's done it to make a point. There was a moment in the commentary in the second half where they started listing all the games West Ham will have to play where they've got FA Cup against Kidderminster and then they've got the Europa League
games
coming up. It's like, imagine your football club having to play games. Oh my God, if only we could all be Arsenal and just call them all off and then just, what do? Sign all the players, spend, £300 million assembling a fantastic Premier League squad and then just never play. Nobody would mind that. You just do photo shoots of them all, make posters, and do funny little YouTube videos. Just use them to generate content 24/7.
And then let the polls panel decide the results.
Absolutely perfect, yeah.
The polls panel. One for the kids there. Well, what a nice day it's been. I'm really glad that... Do you know what? You know that nature is healing kind of meme that goes around? It does feel like...
For sure, hamstrings aren't.
Apart from more injuries, but it does feel... Just when we get these wins and when we turn on a performance like that, it just feels like everything feels better. It's to reduce the pressure on the transfer window just a little bit. All right, the injuries are still a problem, but you're not utterly terrified of what's going to happen because we can bring a performance out like that.
I'm still quite terrified given we've got two fresh injuries.
What it means is we can now build on it and say, right, well, if we beat Newcastle, that puts us in a really, really strong position. Yeah. And I don't know, I was weirdly zen about today beforehand. I wasn't stressed about it. Like I normally find nerves building or I get anxious about a game. For some reason today, I was sort of quietly zen about it.
Until we scored. And then you're like, oh, God.
That last 10, 15 minutes was hideous.
I think it's because you know that West Ham are top five and we're bottom five. And so you kind of think, well, if we don't get anything there, then it's not really
it's a massive chance passed up, isn't it?
And we don't normally do it, truth be told, either.
Oh, we don't win in London. So we've won in London. So that's a big deal.
Yeah. We do now, don't we?
So there was a lot against us today. And then
love that stadium.
You're looking at, before the month started, you're looking at Burnley and Newcastle as the games beat the teams around us, and 3 points against West Ham is just a beautiful, beautiful bonus that we can really thank Jared Bowen for helping with. And that's great. And the thing about the injuries, if there is an upside to them, it's that it doesn't really change the idea that we think they want a central midfielder in this window. And, you know, after trying for Cuisance and, Gallagher and everybody that's been looking at over however many years they've been trying to do it. So that doesn't actually change. It's just, it's in the same position, so you'd maybe just think it renews that impetus of like, just let's just phone them up and sign them.
Just an update on the injuries before we wrap it up. Muscular injuries, they're saying. So
a hamstring is a muscle.
Is it?
I think so.
That's so disappointing.
What's the difference between, what were you thinking it was?
I don't know.
Hamstring's not, you don't have a hamstring bone.
Made out of string, isn't it?
It's the bit on the back of your leg, isn't
strings it? Of ham.
It's stringy one.
I know, yeah. I was just quoting what Popey said. Yeah. But yeah, we'll wrap it up there then. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Feedback, send it to us. If you are a TSB Plus member, check your email for the feedback form there. Send it to us and we will deal with all that. Get your opinion on this on, what's it called, that show? Propaganda, the
propaganda.
One we did? Yeah, Propaganda on Tuesday.
I doubly enjoy wins now because I know that Propaganda won't be such a grind trying to listen to. It's much better listening
to.
Upset people is far nicer to
and
listen to.
It also means that we can hear Moscow doing Dick Van Dyke again. Which is good news. So yeah, look out for Propaganda. That'll be recorded on Tuesday alongside the main weekly show and we will return then. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.